Blog Talk Radio.
Mes amis, comment ça va? Oh, I hope we're all ça va beginning tonight. Darlings, it's Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, and I'm coming to you live on our weekly podcast of Come Now, Don't Sulk. We are on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we're part of the Here Be Monsters studio, and it's what an honor it is. We're in our second year with Here Be Monsters, and I am here with our producer and the founder of the Here Be Monsters studio, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, who also is the founder and head chemist or chemistryatrix at daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine and dandy. Dandy and fine.
Last week you were fair to middling, and I said we should open a town named Fair to Middling where Agatha Christie could put Jane Marple. Instead of being in St. Mary Mead, she would be in Fair to Middling, and all sorts of nice murders would take place there involving fire and Zeppelin crashes and all sorts of things. Now, you were working all day. You said that you were very busy at your chemist table. You were doing concoctions, right, for daughtersofisis.com. What were you working on today? Anything specific?
Well, we have a special on 7-day candles this month through the holidays, and I was clearing, charging, creating 7-day candles, with the oil blends in them, and lots of work. But
well, you've got Christmas. This is your Christmas rush, your holiday rush, isn't it? Your Christmas,
yeah.
Hanukkah, everything rush, your gift-giving holiday rush is right on right now, right?
Right. So I'm real pressed, yeah. It's that time of the year.
Well, and the Postal Service is back up and mostly running, despite our beloved president's, demolishing and dismantling it for the election that he still lost anyway. So you're packing things up to ship. I just want to do a quick shout out to our home audience. Darlings at home, our sponsor this week and every week is daughtersofisis.com. Do look it up on your on their website, on your laptops during our show tonight. It's daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And by the way, we also have a sponsorship by listeners like you, too. Thank you. Is there a fragrance? Now, if I'm not mistaken, you said that we had a full moon and we had an eclipse this morning at 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be Eastern Standard Time was when the eclipse was taking place. I was sound asleep, and I wouldn't have seen it anyway because we had torrential tornado watches and warnings all up and down the East Coast here from Delaware and Maryland all the way up into Maine, apparently, although Snooze and Collins probably slept through the whole thing. What I was going to say was that we've had torrential rain, so I won't get to see the full moon tonight after the show. But is there a fragrance that is particular to this time right now that you would recommend for people to look into, an essential oil or a spritz or something that they should look into?
Yes, and we have a White Buffalo Woman blend. Now, White Buffalo Woman is someone who brought the directions and the pipe to the nations. She's a great vaulted medicine woman and icon among all the nations, north, south, east, and west. She traveled. She was a traveler. But she helps people to align with their ancestors. And one of the things that she really brings up in people uniquely when they align with her is an enthusiasm for their spiritual side, their spiritual self, or to stay focused with it. and not to lose heart, which right now we can use all of the hope we can get with everything that has befall in the world. And I would suggest White Buffalo Woman. We have an oils under the medicine oils, and it's a mist on our mist page, our sprays. So it's a really wonderful blend. It includes sandalwood and lavender and rose geranium, vetiver, frankincense, hyssop, and honeysuckle absolute. It's a really, really wonderful blend. And it
wonderful.
Helps you.
And they'll find that on the website then tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's
now,
a very
is it,
nice
is it true that daughter? Is it true that Daughter's Vice still has 500 different products available that we can purchase?
Sure. We've got a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of different ancestral collections and a different venues for them. We have oils, incense, mists, candles, working on candles, 50-hour and 7-day, and soaps and roll-ons. And we even have magical children's sprays and children's aromatherapy.
Wonderful. Wonderful. If only Rhoda Penmark and the bad seed had been treated with essential oils, she couldn't have been such a psychopath. That poor Claude Daigle might still be alive with his penmanship medal. If only she had been treated with lavender. I find lavender very soothing, and I am still waiting for you to come up with an injectable lavender of some sort. A nice hypodermic needle with a lavender essential oil thing. It would be perfect. I would be much happier, I'm sure. I want to do a shout out to you on your page on Facebook, and I saw this tonight, and I was very impressed. You are inviting people, other businesses, small businesses, to post links on your page. Am I correct? So that they are promoted to other people.
All the little makers. This is our time of year to make something to get through, you know, January into February on, because people don't generally have shot their wad during the Christmas, you know, time. There are always little orders that come in, but the big time is right now. And so if we reach out and help one another, especially during this time, it's a very good thing. But try to do it every
year. I am so impressed and proud to be a friend of yours and an associate of yours, and that you continue to do things like this. Just, I'm getting emotional. It just fills my heart to breaking that you would share like that on your page, and that you would encourage people to post their things on your page. You are truly just the salt of the earth. You're wonderful, Gwendolyn.
What a sweet thing to say. I should tell you that many in our community, in the more spiritual or metaphysical New Age wellness community, we do this for one another, and we have been doing it for the last couple of years, you know. And
I know.
It's connection, and it's bringing a community together. And I've always been rightfully under the awareness that, you know, more is better, because if you have more places to go and find things from, more people are attracted. It's, you know, that gravitational pull. If you're a designer, you do the same thing.
What you're saying is sort of what Dolly Levi says in Thornton Wilder's The Matchmaker, or in Hello, Dolly. Money is like manure. It's only good when it's being spread around, making little things grow.
That is
the lesson of capitalism, which is lost, by the way, on the rich. The rich, the 1%, have, you know, claim that they're afraid of socialism and communism and they're the capitalists, and capitalism is the God's gift to the earth. But what they don't do is they don't believe really in spreading money around. They believe in centralizing it into one place. And the whole thing about capitalism is it works when money is moving around constantly.
That's true.
And it's generating creativity. It's generating intellect and sharing and love and progression of science and technology. Money moving through a society is what creates progress, and that's what the Renaissance was. Prior to that, it was the Dark Ages, and when suddenly you had craftsmen forming guilds, forming what the early unions were, and becoming merchants and becoming wealthy outside of the monarchies, the royal houses, and the that staid sort of stagnant hierarchy of royalty, inbred royalty. When you started having Venice, a city-state like Venice, creating all sorts of art and trade and everything, that's when the Renaissance happened. And that's what the United States was, what the experiment was about. People not being enthralled to a monarchy. They were enthralled to a democracy of merchants and workmen and farmers. And that was the instigation of this whole thing. And so I just feel that you are absolutely right. When you encourage small businesses everywhere, it's like you're fertilizing a garden. A garden is about a lot of different plants being fertilized in all different ways and interconnected. It's not about one big tree in the middle of a plot of ground and nothing else living around it. And that's what this has got to be. Small business folks at home, support your small businesses. Any moron can go to Costco or to Target or to Lowe's. But it's that the little merchants that are local, the little coffee house that isn't Starbucks, the little pizza parlor that isn't, you know, Papa John's. Go to those independent places, those little mom and pop stores, those little mom and pop businesses. They are you. You are they. Corporations cannot exist without human beings running them and doing them and working in them. And those little merchants are the ground level of people, citizens working and supporting the country. Please do that. Please, please, please. And take a lesson from Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, I love you just so much.
Thank you, Mommy. Well, you know, don't you, that it was the plague that took most of Britain down and a lot of Europe. It was the plague that created the paid worker, and that started it all. You know, the little maker.
I want to remind everyone that in addition to daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, we also invite you people at home to call in at 323-784-9639. Our phone number is 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn and I are in this new year going to be doing a couple of experiments. We are working towards doing a live video podcast of this show on Facebook. So we would do a Facebook Live thing in addition to our Blog Talk Radio. So they'd be done simultaneously. We have the set is under construction. Costumes are being designed. Props are being created. Lighting is being done. All sorts of things. So that's one thing. And one of the things that we're trying to do is our phone number, 323-784-969, does not form a word thing. It's not an anagram or anything. It doesn't have a word message to it. Like one of Mummy's early phone numbers spelled Mrs. Vice, MRS. You went to your phone and you dialed 2 and 2, and then you would dial MRS. V-I-C-E, and that was my phone number for a few years. It was very funny, Mrs. Vice. I had a friend who worked in the film industry whose phone number was 2 and 2, and then it was PixSoir. You dialed PYXSOIR because he used to throw movie nights in his loft down in Soho back in the 70s. So you would dial PixSoir as in Pix evenings, you know, movie evenings, and that was his phone number. People have these wonderful phone numbers. Well, unfortunately, 323-784-9639 spells zilch. It doesn't spell any of the funny anagrams that Mummy posts in her stories. So we're going to talk to the phone company, Verizon or someone, and we're going to say, now listen, nice man, we have to get a phone number that actually spells something fun for our home audience. So they're not trying to remember that number. They can dial let's talk to Sybil or Mrs. Busybody or something that will be funny that you will dial. And Gwendolyn and I are trying to figure that out right now. So we don't have any phone calls so far, do we?
No, we don't, Mommy.
Well, I'm going to just tell everyone that one of the things I did was I did a leftovers this year, and I took all of our turkey leftovers. I took all the turkey that was left, white and dark meat, and I apologize to my vegan and vegetarian friends. I'm sorry. We did do a turkey this year. So I took the turkey, and I completely, every molecule off that, the skeleton, I took all the stuffing, which was pretty good, and I took the I took my homemade chicken stock. I took I did a mirepoix of onions, celery, carrots, and garlic also. Sauteed that, minced it fine, and sauteed that. I sauteed a variety of mushrooms, not just the button mushrooms. I did a whole bunch of different mushrooms, sauteed those. And I did, and I took all the green beans, which happened to have been genius, and chopped them up. And I did a layered casserole, layered casserole dish of that. And then on top, to make it like a shepherd's pie, I took all of the leftover mashed potatoes, and I spread them evenly over the top of that. And I baked it until the interior temperature was again 165. And I must tell you that the casserole of the leftovers was better than the Thanksgiving dinner itself. It was absolutely, it was heartbreakingly delicious. And you serve it with like a big side of cranberry sauce, a la Pamela Jett, which was made with orange and lemon peel. Lemon zest and lemon juice. It was absolutely wonderful. So, folks at home, take that turkey, take your leftovers. Do not let them spoil. Use them in a new way. It's easy. You slice it up into little cakes, when it comes out of the oven, and then freeze the portions if you want. It does freeze fairly well, even with the mashed potatoes on top. And try it. It's a wonderful way of using leftovers. And it's really incredible when you realize it's more delicious than the original dinner. It's like, oh dear, the dinner was about a B+, but the casserole, it was A+. It was genius. It was absolutely delicious. So that's what Mummy did with her leftovers. I'm doing a lot of cooking because of the COVID thing. I mean, we've been doing it nonstop for the last year and a half, but moving here to the main line outside of Philadelphia, being in a house and really being in a situation where you can't go to restaurants or anything, really. It's really not something you can do. Being confined in the house, you can really work up you can get your cooking talents really buzzing away. And I'm doing things like I'm saving all the chicken carcasses and making stock from scratch, which is wonderful. Oh my God, I can't recommend that enough. Chicken stock from a store is great, and you can always have a carton or two in the refrigerator, but making your own, and at least making your own and then mixing it with chicken stock from the store, but putting it in with other recipes. Oh my God, my God, my God. And if you scoop the fat off the top of it when it's chilled, you finish your chicken stock, you freeze it, or at least refrigerate it, and then scoop the thickened and hard fat off the top. Don't throw that away. Put that in a separate little container. It's schmaltz. It's the wonderful Jewish thing of it's chicken fat. And you can, oh my God, you start sauteing things in a little scoop of chicken fat. Use it instead of olive oil, or use it with olive oil to flavor things. Oh my God. I mean, the food, or my goddess, the food is wonderful. It's amazing what you can do with everything in the kitchen. Is that a phone call coming in, or what was that?
That was a beep on my phone. I'm sorry, Mommy.
No, that's okay. No, I just wondered if somebody had called in. Apropos of Pamela, I want to mention that she is doing Fabulous Food Fridays on Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild. She posts recipes, and she posted some amazing November recipes and leftover recipes, etc. And now we're moving into the December and Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Wiccan holiday time, and Saturnalia time. And so Pamela's going to be posting all sorts of recipes for cookies. And you know, I think she's doing the 12 days of Christmas, 12 recipes for cookies, which would be absolutely wonderful. We have been, unfortunately, because of Pamela's posting of desserts, the Juvenile Diabetes Society has banned us and is soliciting closure of our network because we are contributing to childhood obesity with her delicious recipes. So we're fighting that in court right now. The Diabetic Association, thank goodness Mary Tyler Moore is dead and gone. She would absolutely be our archenemy on this whole thing. So what should we be looking for? Why don't we discuss this eclipse that we had since no one's called in? Let's discuss what does an eclipse in Gemini actually mean for us, Gwendolyn?
Well, it's about communication. And there's a great deal of communication right now that's going to begin to tumble out. So basically, we're going to be getting a lot of cross circuits, and Mercury is just going to have its way with us. It was actually very, very. It was supposed to. I believe it was 4:20 in the a.m. this morning that it took place in our part of the world. I can tell you that in any eclipse season, they're mystical. You know, it brings an adjustment to how we are experiencing the world around us. It expands our awareness of ourselves from all sides. So there's a lot of people going within. In Gemini, it's the exchange of information. It helps us to uncover things. So you can imagine the uncovering that Mercury can sort of take a crowbar to and sort of pry out into the open. it's about sharing the information that we have too. So I imagine the social networks and the way people are with one another is going to get very, you know, busy during this holiday season. The effects of an eclipse last for a couple of weeks. Eclipses of lore, you know, from antiquity, they thought an eclipse happened and all hell done broke loose, you know.
Yes, of course.
This one took place near the North Node, and it will be increasing the speed of information exchange, making it important for everybody to pay attention. Planet Neptune, which is the place where dreams take place. And so there's bound to be a lot of tall tales coming out at this time. So you have to really keep your ear and eye out, especially in the news. While it's not really a great moment for accuracy, it is a really great time for storytelling. You know?
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, when the imagination's PQ'd and brought up to the surface, this is a good time for that kind of, you know, fare. The writers will actually do very well during this season.
Well, I'm doing a lot of writing right now, so I assume that that must be
makes sense.
The inspiration for me. I'm doing a lot of writing right now, yeah?
Yeah, that's something that's probably going on. And it happens right before we go through something called the Great Conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius, which is going to take place on winter solstice.
And what will that, because I'm an Aquarian, so I'm curious, what is that going to do for us? Will I get a rash? Will I win the lottery? Or will my chocolate chip cookies come out really brilliantly that week?
This is going to help us to rid ourselves of past energies and to become something new. It's a rebirthing kind of a a conjunction. The influences cosmically are going to be in the favor of rebirths, brand new. New relationships, new business, that kind of thing on the table. It's going to be in the element of air, so that means there's going to be a lot of communication taking place on the backside of the eclipse into this conjunction. So again, mark it and be very careful of what you're listening to.
It's a little spooky what you're saying, because it is, it makes me worry, as you know, just because the election is over, although it still hasn't been certified in many places, et cetera, and we still have a president who, even as the COVID situation is surging more and more and more and spiking more and more, he is pouting more and more and more, and yet his red voters are just, they're more and more dug in. I could tell you about a demonstration that we witnessed out on a main highway here for Trump that was really shocking. But what it makes me worry about is that what is Joe Biden going to be dealing with planetarily, astrologically, as he comes into office? I mean, it's just
eliminating the depleting stuff. Like, you know, everybody is want to post on social media about the bad news, you know, or to ruffle the feathers of each other's, you know, territorial waters. You can't do that at this time because it's dangerous. It's sparking. It will spark no good. And, you know, processing a truth is going to be, everybody needs to cue up their intuition and instincts and let the truth come from within first. You know, we hear stuff on the news, and I'll tell you what, you've got to divine it yourself, because it often gets retracted. But, you know, or it's cast completely out of, and this is because of this fake news BS that he has been putting around. I would like to tell you, Mummy, that we do have a caller.
Oh, well, that's good news. All right, well, let's take our caller. Hello, caller. Who's on with us tonight?
Hi, I'm sorry I'm late. I was giving my deposition for the American Diabetes Association.
That's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners across the country and around the world who are listening in right now live, I want you to hear who public enemy number one is on Come Now, Don't Sulk. Identify yourself. Come out with your hands raised and identify yourself. Who is this?
It's Pamela.
Of course it is, Pamela. Now, do you understand the damage you do when you post delicious recipes that are a gazillion calories of sweetness and delight, and then we have people that are found foaming at the mouth, unconscious under their coffee tables with a pan of, like, pierogies beside them or something? I mean, oh, my God. What do you have in store for us? Tomorrow's December 1st, so, and we had an eclipse this morning. So what do you have on tap for us, or on the back burner for us, for the month of December, recipe-wise? What are we doing?
Well, actually, I'm going to be doing the 12 days of cookies, but I'm going to be doing an international version of that from selecting different cookies from different countries.
Wonderful. Ooh. Wonderful. Ooh. And may I challenge you, as the founder of the Lollipop page, to, yes, of course, we want to hear what France and Italy have, and England, of course, although I assume their cookies are mostly boiled anyway. But what I would love to have is, I want you to try, in your vast knowledge, to find cookies from exotic places. Like, like strange ones from, like, Estonia or New Zealand or Sri Lanka, or, you know, something from Tahiti, maybe something, well, vanilla, of course, from the South Seas, but give us cookies that we will never find in a Betty Crocker cookbook. Although I treasure my Betty Crocker spiral ring cookbook from 1958. Still, I'd like to see cookies from the most extraordinarily strange places and wonderful sweets. I know that you're going to come up with amazing things.
I've been working on it, so I'm getting it all together and ready. So I'm just going to start testing the recipes actually tomorrow. So,
all right. Now, you know how Gwendolyn and I are. We get very, very grumpy. And so did Kimberly Young a couple of weeks ago, about the fact that you're not shipping us desserts and treats through the mail, using the excuse that the Postal Service is not functioning. First of all, they are functioning. They're almost completely up to speed, A. And B, I would like, before we get to sample your cookies or actually make them ourselves, I would like to just hear some names or some countries that you want to tantalize, you want to whet our appetites with, and just say, you know, do you have some cookies that you could tell us the names of that would make us really get all hot and bothered over?
I'm going to say no right now, but next Monday I will.
Next Monday you will. So you will tell us names that you're going to, okay. Because I'm so intrigued. Do we have a Latvian cookie or a Lithuanian cookie? Do we have something from Kazakhstan or Mongolia, you know, inner or outer Mongolia? I can't wait to hear what these recipes are going to be. It sounds wonderful. Wonderful. I told Gwendolyn, and our home viewers, what I did with my leftovers. What do you have leftovers, and what did you do with them?
Actually, I do, but like I said, I didn't have a traditional Thanksgiving. I had a big seafood feast, as you saw.
Right, I wanted you to tell everyone. Yes, I wanted you to remind people about that.
Yes. So we had scallops grilled and wrapped in bacon. We had grilled shrimp. We had crab and lobster shrimp scampi. We had steamed mussels and steamed clams. We had rice. We had rice pilaf and corn on the cob and, you know, just a regular old seafood, quote unquote, boil, but it was more grilled than boiled kind of thing that we had. And with the leftovers, I made a chowder with it yesterday.
Oh, my God. That's wonderful.
It was quite delicious. Because, of course, you know, with like any kind of chowder, it starts, you know, you have bacon in there and everything. So I started with the bacon and then just built on it from that. And I, you know, made my seafood stock from the shells and the crab legs and lobster tail shells and everything.
Pamela, how long did you boil them? When you did that, you put them in a big soup pot, a stock pot.
I did
and put water
do it in
a
big
how
soup
long
pot,
did you...
and I boiled them for about 2 hours.
Only two hours.
And I would continue to add more liquid as needed as it would boil down to get a really concentrated flavor. But thank God I live in Florida and I could do that outside, so as not to stink up the whole house.
That's true. Yeah. What, you have a burner outside or a unit or a grill outside?
I do
oh
have
my
a burner
God,
outside.
That was wonderful. So yes, so. You would, it would be a little bit fishy smelling, but homemade stock of any sort for lobster bisque, all of those things. Oh my God, just the most wonderful, wonderful. I'm making chicken stock and I saved a turkey carcass. So I'm going to put that in. I'm actually going to do a turkey and chicken stock together because I have a couple of chicken carcasses and I'm just going to combine it all and make a wonderful poultry stock. And I've been using it. And as I told Gwendolyn, I skimmed the fat off the top of my chicken stock. Once I had strained it and everything, then when it was all perfect, the fat that was left on the chicken stock, once it was finished, I put aside as my schmaltz. And, you know, it's pure deliciousness. That chicken fat is perfect, like bacon fat. It's perfect to use for, like, sauteing.
Well, I always have a container of bacon fat in the back of the fridge for when, you know.
Yeah.
If I just want to zhuzh up something,
doesn't it keep pretty much forever?
Oh, it does. It keeps a very long time.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And then as you use it, you just keep adding to it, you know.
Yes, exactly. That's wonderful. Wonderful. I'll tell you, this whole COVID catastrophe has opened up certain wonderful things, and it's gotten me back to cooking completely the last year and a half, 2 years, you know, especially and then accelerating more and more and more. This 9 months of the COVID catastrophe has just really, 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 you know, anchored me to cooking and preparing food and getting my chop up and running. It's really wonderful. So, and you know, I'm attempting some of your recipes. I will let you know as I execute your recipes. I'm not going to do the Julia Child cookbook like Julia, but I am going to do the Pamela tome. We've got to come up with a good name for it. I do like the Glazier Brazier roasted vegetables recipe, which we had a couple of weeks ago from Jan Glazier. We need to come up with a name for your cookbook. It's got to be like, you know, just fabulous. So gastronomy by, you know, I like alliteration. It has to be like a P word of some sort. But anyway, one thing I would love to do, and I want you to think about this too, is after the holidays, January and February, everything dies. It's like retail dies, theater dies. I mean, as if it's not already dead. The only thing that thrives in January and February is you Floridians, damn you. Your high season and orchids are growing and palm trees are swaying. Everything is sunny and cheerful down in Florida. But for the rest of us in the country, everything becomes gray and eventfulness. There's no Christmas. There's no New Year's. There's no Thanksgiving. And let's be honest. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. St. Valentine's Day is the most forlorn holiday. It's a nothing. It's a non-event. So I want you to come up with something. I'm trying to come up with a holiday for January and February that we can celebrate with some sort of decorations. I hate that the Christmas decorations all come down. It's like there's nothing to look at then. There's nothing. It's just gray, treeless, leafless trees. It's just no wonder people leave their trees up through February. You know, they need something to be cheerful about. So I want to come up with like whatever you want. I want you to drain your creative juices into like the silliest, funniest, most wonderful food and stuff that you can think of for January, February, because I want people to start this new 4 years with Biden and Harris, this new age. I want us to start out with some joy, some real joy, you know, starting on New Year's Day. It's like we still will have that idiot in the White House for 20 more days. But let's try and really figure out starting now what we can do to make winter absolutely wonderful, you know, for the non-skiers and the non-sledders in the home audience. For those of you that don't ski or sled anymore, we're going to try and provide entertainment for you in January and February. And Pamela will help, and Gwendolyn and I will help. And, you know, maybe we can get Kimberly Young to suggest houseplant things that we can do indoors. Everyone should have a Christmas cactus, I think. They're pretty low maintenance, and they're so cheerful and so wonderful. So, but you put that in your toolbox of thoughts, maybe, Pamela. Things that you can think of that would be wonderful for January, February. Because my God, I was scanning back over what you posted in the Lollipop Guild on the Fabulous Food Fridays. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Your pierogi one was the start off. That was a great start for all of us. So,
yes.
Anyway. Does your grandmother know that you're doing this?
I'm just looking at all of the actually there's a fun holidays all through January, like, you know, National Bean Day and
I love that. Okay, I'm going to go on there and Google that myself right now. National Bean Day. Oh my god. That's fabulous.
Peculiar People Day and, you know, National Bagel Day and National Hat Day and Dragon Day, and then there's an actual National Nothing Day on January 16th.
Well, that okay. Bean Day is January 6th, which happens to be
Epiphany.
It's Epiphany.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to do a recipe for that week, and also will include anyone who does it. We will send them a special box of Beano or Gas-X to go with their recipe so that we reduce the danger of fire in people's homes. Suddenly home fires spike during January 6th.
Well, you do know there's the Celtic observation of February 1st, which is Imbolc. That's the halfway point between winter solstice and spring equinox. And it celebrates the flowers that grow up through the snow.
And what's that day called?
Imbolc.
Oh, that's right. I have heard of that. Well, we need to do some recipe that involves that. Maybe some recipe that, but there's no flowers that are edible at that time. But yes, we should decorate our cupcakes with the floral icing, the wonderful, or something. I don't know.
Right.
But we'll think of
February
it.
February 1st is also National Spunky Old Broad Day.
Okay, boys.
Yeah, dead silence on the phone at that point. Gwendolyn and I hate your guts. Pamela, to be honest, you're kind of a spunky old gal day too, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. So maybe we celebrate it as the three witches from Macbeth. Or the three weird sisters, they're called. They're not witches. They're the three weird sisters. But why don't we really – I think what I'm going to do is I'm putting this in my notes for my diary this week. I'm going to look up the national holidays and find as many of them that are food-oriented. And then we can really try and address that over the winter a little bit. We can do whatever those might be. So January and February, we'll see what we can find as far as food. I think the bean holiday is a definite must.
Oh, February has National Pistachio Day.
Cool.
That's
cool.
I just experienced pistachio butter. Oh, my gosh. That's good stuff.
Is it really? Where do you get it, or did you make it?
No, I got it online from Stone Kitchen.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Is it butter with, pulverized pistachios in it, or is it made from pistachios, like almond butter and peanut butter?
It's like almond butter, but they pulverize pistachios and put it in it, and that's how its base is made.
So the natural oils, just like almond butter and peanut butter, are from the nut itself. There's enough oil in a pistachio to do that.
Well, I do think because of the nature of it, I put it in the ice box because it is a little loose, and I think they use coconut oil in it.
Right.
But it's delicious.
That's just good to know. We bought some almond butter the other day, and of course you have to make sure you keep it in the refrigerator because it will spoil. It's not like peanut butter, like Skippy peanut butter that won't spoil, in the kitchen cabinet. Those natural butters, nut butters, will spoil if you don't preserve them in the refrigerator properly. So, that's good to know. So there's another one. We have pistachio, the chance to do something with that. Yeah, I'm going to look up a lot of these holidays. That'll be cool. What else should we talk about here? We've survived Thanksgiving, and we've survived Election Day. We've survived the tryptophan and the mid-afternoon exhaustion. By the way, my turkey casserole, I didn't get sleepy at all from it. It's wonderful. I don't know what happened, but I guess there's not enough tryptophan in my casserole to knock everybody out. But that was – I'm sold on using leftovers that way. And one thing, Pamela, did you post any of your recipes? I didn't notice. Did you post any of your recipes from your own Thanksgiving table?
No, I haven't. No, I was gonna do that probably today or tomorrow with the chowder recipe once I had finished it. So
I can't wait for that. I just can't wait for that. That's just to have a Thanksgiving dinner all of different seafoods is so wonderful. That would be such a nice break. I mean, I love oyster stuffing, oyster and sausage stuffing in a turkey.
Yes.
But for you to have done all of that seafood that way, it's just what a thrill. Did you
just
have company?
Something different, you know. 2020 was so different, so why do we, you know,
exactly.
I just didn't want to do turkey again.
Yeah.
And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
Just,
did you have company?
No.
Yeah.
No, I did not. No.
So you ate all that by yourself?
Well, me and my son, yes.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Did
Talk
you,
about
did,
two of the happiest did, diners in all of the state of Florida. I mean, my
did,
goodness.
Did you stuff a lobster?
No, I did not.
Oh.
I did not. The lobster, I took the meat out and then I put it on a skewer and grilled it.
Okay.
My goodness. My
it is good broiled. It's very good broiled. Yeah, that would be excellent.
It sounds absolutely like paradise. That is wonderful. I'm actually, my mouth is actually watering and aching now, thinking about that whole array of food for Thanksgiving. Oh my God. Anyway.
Oh, and then a turtle
cheesecake
for dessert. I forgot I did a turtle cheesecake for dessert. Yes.
What is
turtle
cheesecake?
What's that?
A turtle cheesecake. So a turtle is caramel and pecans and chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
So
oh,
the crust,
wonderful.
The crust is pecans, brown sugar, flour, and butter, and you put that in the spring form. Bake that for a little bit, and then you make your cheesecake filling, and then you take some of the cheesecake filling out and mix that with chocolate. So you have a chocolate cheesecake filling and a regular cheesecake filling. And
right.
then you layer the chocolate cheesecake filling on top, and then you layer caramel and pecans, and then you put the regular cheesecake filling on top and bake it in a bain-marie for about an hour and 20 minutes. And then you refrigerate it overnight, and you pull it out the next day and decorate it with chocolate ganache, caramel, and pecans.
Oh, where's my peeps?
Do you understand that half of our listenership just died from pancreatic failure? I'm like, oh my God. Just to hear the description was like, I've lost three teeth in the last 30 seconds. Three of my teeth fell out. It's like, oh
it,
my
it, God. It's very, I think I posted a picture of it on the Guild, actually. because when I got done, I had decorated it with chocolate shavings and the chocolate and the pecans in the middle. And yeah.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
And
unbelievable.
You didn't send me a refrigerated piece. You know, you just
well,
saw those little dry
it probably wouldn't have lasted.
From
Pamela,
there
is it gone?
There?
Is the cheesecake gone? Or do you still have like a half a cheesecake in the refrigerator?
I still have half a cheesecake in the refrigerator.
Oh my golly. Oh my gosh. That just sounds beyond the best, the best, the best. I can't get over that recipe that you just said on the air. That's wonderful. All right. Well, folks at home, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why you're not calling in and either joining our food fabulous chat, or perhaps you have indeed fainted away from, you know, diabetic insulin crash, whatever. Does anyone have anything that they would like to discuss? I'm trying to steer us away from politics right now because it's very frustrating what's happening, but at least we can breathe a sigh of relief that we're moving in the right direction. So does anyone have something they want to talk about? Pamela, we always talk about food when you come on. Is there something else you'd like to say? Is there something about holiday blues or post-Thanksgiving gratitude, or is there good news or bad news?
Is
there something?
What is your favorite holiday movie?
Oh, Pamela, what's yours?
Oh, mine, it's not really a holiday movie, but I always watch it around this time, and it's Meet Me in St. Louis.
Yes. I love that. There are things in that movie that I still think are still hysterical. I agree. I love that. One of my favorite lines.
I usually watch it more towards Christmas time. I don't know if it's just because That's when Judy sings "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas," and I drool yeah. over that red gown that she's wearing.
But yes. yeah, I love that yeah, red gown, and I love the fact
yes.
that it would go perfectly with the finale gowns and costumes in the movie White Christmas, where Rosemary Clooney and Vera Ellen are dressed as two Mrs. Santa Clauses in the
yes.
final, remember the final number, and they're all in red velvet and white ermine and everything. Yeah, and oh my God, that dress that Judy Garland wears, you know, at the Christmas ball.
The red velvet, wonderful. Gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
Just
yes,
elegant.
Yes, yes.
Elegant.
Yeah.
But actually, my
I adore Mary Astor
tradition
in that movie, too.
To watch at Christmas time, which I actually just watched it yesterday, is actually Rich Little's Christmas Carol.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I
yep,
used to
that
watch
is.
That on HBO growing up, and I own the DVD now, and it's just something I need to watch at Christmas. I just find it very entertaining that he plays all the characters still. You know, I still
yes.
find it entertaining.
I'm going to mention a title that I wonder if you two have heard and our home audience has, and there's so many apocryphal stories about around it. There was a special made 1,000 years ago with Liza Minnelli, Cyril Richard, Vic Damone, and a rock band called The Animals, and the New York City Ballet, and it was,
and
called,
it was called
the Dangerous Christmas of Red Riding Hood. Have you ever heard of this?
God, I'd love to see that, though.
I have
okay.
not.
I want you to try and Google it, and this is, it's called The Dangerous Christmas of Red Riding Hood. The music is by Stein and Merrill, I believe. And the music is wonderful in it. And the premise is that, this is really funny, the Cyril Richard, if you remember who Cyril Richard is, he's the one who played he was the original Captain Hook in Peter Pan. So Cyril
okay.
Richard was a big old mo. He was like the
mm-hmm.
biggest queen that ever lived. Just an over-the-top, deranged British homosexual, brilliant music hall performer. And I mean, he made Charles Nelson Reilly look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, it's just, so, okay, that gives you an idea. So he plays the wolf in the Red Riding Hood myth. And the show opens in a zoo with the wolf has been imprisoned. He's been captured and imprisoned, and he's very misunderstood. And what he does is he explains that he did not attack Red Riding Hood. He didn't mean any trouble or anything. And especially because he's such a big fag. He's dressed like an Edwardian dandy. This is not a cartoon. It's a live movie. It was a movie made for television. So he's dressed in this, like, unbelievable Edwardian, like, you know, double-breasted coat. And he's just over-the-top dandy. And he explains that all he was doing was trying to be friendly with Red Riding Hood and everything. And he's like this big gay queen. So it's not like it was any sexual thing. And she, in fact, is the thoughtless, narcissistic, sociopath in the show. She's a brat. She's a pompous, stuck-up brat. And the woodsman is a vague, kind of punch-drunk, dizzy, straight guy. So anyway, the show is about that, and the music is wonderful. Okay, the story is this: they showed it once, one Christmas they showed it once, and then it was pulled. And the apocryphal stories about it are, whether it's true or not, I should Google it again to see. Supposedly, Liza Minnelli paid to have it squashed because she didn't want to be seen that way anymore. She didn't want that out. So it disappeared completely. And now...
Well, they have it for sale on Amazon.
There are copies. There are copies that are...
You can see it for free on Daily Motion. They've got it posted on Daily Motion.
I saw that too.
So it was released then. So it was released. Well, for years, you could not find it anywhere. And people who even remembered it, when they would research it, they couldn't find it. It wasn't being re-aired or anything, and there were no copies available.
Quite
so
possible.
You're saying that now there are copies showing up.
You can actually watch it on Amazon or Daily Motion.
Okay, I want everyone to make a point at home. I want you all around the world right now to make a point of seeing this wonderful, strange cult film thing. It's a cult film. It's a complete weird cult film in which Liza Minnelli is at her best, her biggest buck-toothed, cross-eyed best. This is like her as a post-teenager playing Red Riding Hood. She is absolutely hysterical. It's like watching a drag queen do a drag queen version of Liza Minnelli. She's her own drag queen version of herself. She is the hands, the gestures, the mugging for the camera, the sputtering, the like, oh, I'm so excited. Everything that she does is Liza Minnelli distilled into like essential oil. It's like you can't believe it. It's so cute and funny and hysterical. And the music is quite lovely. Some of the music is quite lovely. It's neat. So just make a point of watching that. If you're going to watch Burl Ives do, you know, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and you're going to see the Grinch, the original cartoon of the Grinch, and you're going to see Charlie Brown's Christmas, the original, you've got to do this one as the one-off, as the freak, one-of-a-kind thing, because it is bizarre to see. It's so bizarre. Okay? Please do that with Mummy's recommendation. I can't believe it. I didn't know that it was available. Thank you both for Googling that and finding it.
I'll be watching it.
You know what? I want the two of you next Monday. We'll meet here next Monday on Come Now, Don't Sulk, and we'll discuss it, okay? And you at home, if you do find it or buy it or rent it or see it on for free, please call in and let us know what you think about it. We'll discuss The Most Dangerous Christmas of Red Riding Hood next week, in addition to all sorts of other stuff, okay? We'll do that.
Okay.
I'm looking at the time. We're out of time. Mummy talk too much. I'm so glad, Pamela, I'm so glad you called in and told us about your all-seafood Thanksgiving dinner. That was wonderful. I just had to loosen my belt 2 inches. It's so infuriating from that description. And the cheesecake thing. You know that I lost 3 of my toes. I just completely. I'm not a diabetic, but half of my foot fell off. It's just like, oh my god, oh my god. Just call me Stumpy Brunchen from now on.
Yes.
Anyway, we're all out of time. I want to thank my two wonderful sisters in mischief, Pamela, who's a guest who calls in all the time, and I want to thank my wonderful producer, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, who of course is daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do make sure to look up their site and check out their wonderful gifts. Order early, folks. Even though the post office is doing a good job, order early from them for your Christmas shopping, your holiday shopping. Remember, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you at home. Thank you also for joining us. Gwendolyn, I love you more than anything in the world. Thank you so much for being you.
I love you too, Mommy.
And Pamela, we'll talk to you next week with more food.
Yes, good night.
Fabulousness. And folks at home, we'll see you next Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Good night, everybody. Sweet dreams.
Good night.